and try and track that down. You know, again, there's all kinds of interesting stories, and you know, I think again, it's one of those grass is greener things as always. Because you know, I have people ask me about stuff on the submarine all the time, and you know, for me, it was just doing the job every day. And I think a lot of times, sometimes pilots, same thing. It's just that's what I did. You know, but I was just looking, and I think the one we're talking about is the National Museum of the Mighty 8th Air Force, I think is the one down there off of 95. I was just looking at that. But, you know, there's been some documentaries and stuff. Like, we just watched the one, gosh, I can't think about, that just came out on, like, Netflix or something not too long ago about the bomber pilots and the stuff they went through in World War II. And, again, I don't know if I would want to fly. You know, I think it's one of those things where I didn't do it, so I kind of was like, ah, that would be cool. But, you know, I think after you do it every day, and especially when you do it on the military plan, it's a have-to, not a want-to, and I think that maybe changes it a little bit for a lot of people.
Remember the spy plane that Gary Powers was in? I can't remember the exact nomenclature for that now, but one of the men here in Brevard was a pilot for one of those aircraft. Over.
Powers was on the U-2 when it got shot down. I think that was what he was flying. But, yeah, I can't remember. I think it's the one that's actually in downtown Greenville. Anderson, I think, was the pilot's last name. I know I should know, but I haven't been down there in months. But, yeah, there's all kinds of history and stuff that goes along with them. And, you know, just trying to kind of, you know, watch that documentary of the pilots and what the crews went through and being shot at day after day is just, I don't know. It's just, it kind of boggles the mind to think of all the stuff. But then, I think I told you before, my son was in the Army and he was in a tank. Luckily, not in wartime or anything like that, but I just couldn't imagine being in that. But again, people say the same thing about me being in the submarine. It's like, how did you do that, you know, with knowing there's torpedoes and planes dropping stuff? I was like, well, you just don't think about it.
Site for you to write down and look at. It's one my brother put together with my father's autobiography. He was a POW in the Philippines, POW the Japanese, and he goes through how and why he joined the Army in eastern North Carolina, before the war, and during the war, and then after the war. I was born on Corregidor, and my mother and I were evacuated when I was 3 months old in May of 41. The site is www.rayynsted.com/EDW, Echo Delta Whiskey. It's rather interesting. Before you hit print, it's 30 pages long. Over.
HR with N4EDW and the Rag Chew portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, Ed, I definitely wrote that down, and I'll check it out. Yeah, you know, the sad thing is I don't even think I have a printer around the house, but I'll definitely take a look at it online for sure. But, yeah, my wife is more of a history buff than I am, but she kind of drags me into stuff, and then I get kind of interested in it and then end up being a little more interested in it than, well, I won't say more interested than she is, but, you know, normally she'll, like, peel back something and we'll kind of head down that rabbit hole for a little while. But I'll definitely check out that URL and share it with her and maybe go ahead and review that for certain as well. But let me pause here, Ed, just see if we have any additional check-ins, and then we'll continue on with the Rag Chew. 4HR with N4EDW and the Rag Chew portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, taking a pause for additional check-ins. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. You wish to check in, K4HR, net control.
It occurs, you had any traffic or announcements at the beginning of the net? I was a little late getting here.
Not have any traffic or announcements for tonight. Over. So far?
I have one announcement. You can put a number 100 on this. One of our own is, his name is Eddie, call sign W4NTQ. Will turn 100 years old tomorrow. That is October 20th. and just wanted everyone, I'm sure everyone's heard, but just remain aware that Eddie will turn 100 years old tomorrow. Everyone keep him in mind. KK4JPQ.
Probably copy message, your message number 100, that Eddie W4NTQ will celebrate his centennial 100th birthday on October 20th, 2024. See, that's the kind of news I like. That's awesome. So definitely wish Eddie the best on that for sure. And I don't think Eddie checked in with me tonight. I don't have his call sign in here, and I know he usually comes by and checks in with us. And so hopefully he'll come by and check in tomorrow, and everybody can wish him a happy birthday for sure. But definitely appreciate you bringing that to the good of the net, Larry.
I wish I'd been here earlier. Maybe more people would have been reminded. Thanks again for calling the net, and you have a good evening. 7-3.
Okay, my friend. I appreciate you coming back and checking back in with us. All right, so let's go back to our rag chew portion here. And this was AK4HR. We're in the rag chew portion with Ed. That's Whiskey 4, or correction, November 4. And Ed, I don't know why I keep wanting to change your call sign. November 4, EDW. And Ed, did you have anything else for us tonight, sir?
Most of what I wanted, because the other thing, maybe you've got some experience, that we had a program a year or so ago about the fires out in western part of the country where people lost cell phones and that's all they had out in the forest, and they were setting up nets with the handy talkies, the little $25 jobbers, and with those back to a ham who then could get out into the world. And I'm wondering if anybody has had any experience with those or thought about, given the communications issues we had here, of setting up local nets for that. Over.
Well, the South Carolina single sideband net normally relays traffic up through South Carolina. I don't actually have my HF rig up. I don't know if anybody on frequency right now would be part of the South Carolina single sideband net. I know Rusty, Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango, used to be active over there, and a couple of other folks. But I know in the past we have had South Carolina traffic nets. I don't know exactly how that process works, just not having taken part of it. So I'll pause here and see if anybody else may be able to relay that information in.
Well, see, I can't relay that, but up on the Mount Mitchell, 145.19, I guess since probably the second or third day that weather happened, and there's still at times during the day up there dealing with stuff going on up there right now to this point in time and day now. As far as HF, I'm sure they're using it, but I'm not familiar with what's going on that point.
KI4LCI. As far as the Mount Mitchell is going, I think they're doing it 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. But, yeah, there's been a lot of information relayed on that. Yeah, anyway, there's 0FUQ.
Appreciate both of you guys coming in with that. I knew there was stuff going on with the Mount Mitchell repeater. I haven't actually been up there to just kind of listen in. And, again, I knew they were busy, so I haven't really had anything to say. And, again, just haven't really listened. I know I'd seen on QRZ and some other forums they were talking about passing traffic and welfare reports and messages through the Mount Mitchell repeater on 145.190. Because, again, that repeater has a huge footprint. You know, into central North Carolina, southern Virginia, over to Tennessee, I think tip of Georgia, and then deep into South Carolina. So it definitely has coverage for the region they were looking for. But, again, I know they've been utilizing it. I've seen folks talking about the nets and net controllers and the traffic going through the Mount Mitchell repeater. But as far as taking it any further than that, I'm not sure how they're handling that. I know, again, like we were talking about, Ed, there are nets set up to handle that. I know the South Carolina single sideband net was one of them. But again, I haven't been part of that. I'd have to try and track somebody down that's actually checking into that net in the evenings. But again, the one person I can think of, hadn't heard him on for a little while, but again, I haven't really been listening, is Rusty, WU2T. I know he used to be really active with South Carolina single sideband net.
I'm working on the computer. My wife gave me a 3D printer for Christmas, and I've been fairly successful with that. My laptop died a few weeks ago, and I had a new drive put in it. And of course, once something like that happens, you got to reload. And I have lost that printer from my laptop. I can still operate it, but I can't do it from the laptop. Over.
Yeah, I've got a neighbor who kind of got into 3D printing for a while, and you know, he's used up a lot of resin trying to get stuff to work the right way. But he can print parts now. I think the learning curve was rather steep, but it's some interesting stuff that can come off of those 3D printers.
Learning a whole new computer system, and mostly toys for what I've worked with. A few interesting things like an infinity cube where you start at one place and go around and around it and come back to the same place, never lifting your finger. And now I'm working on several models of things. A friend was a paraglide boat captain for a while. And I was going to make a model of that. And then I made a canoe for one of the guys who had wilderness stuff and took canoe trips. It's kind of interesting to keep it going. I was looking at the amount of time since Christmas, and the printer has been going 500-plus hours over.
Breaking in, but speaking of 3D printers, have you ever printed one of the I want to say, Benchy? It's a little boat. But also checked out, hang on. I have a couple 3D printers. But yeah, there's an awesome web interface, Octoprint. Have you ever checked that out? N0FQ.
Give me that site again, over.
Octoprint. You set it up on a Raspberry Pi, and it remotely controls your printer via web interface, and you just plug in the USB if you have a compatible printer.
O-X-T-A-L-E, over.
So, as in an octopus, O-C-T-O, Oscar, Charlie, Tango, Charlie, Oscar.
That one. I have a Bamboo Lab printer, and I've got it set up so I can watch it from an iPad or from my iPhone. Over.
All kinds of stuff. Set up a camera and set up many other things. I like it because it's easily, once you slice the files, it's easily drag, print, let it be done. It's been great. N0FQ.
Fun with it. I made all kinds of stuff with it. The Infinity Cube is something I've given away. Went to the chiropractor a month or so ago, and he has all kinds of human skeletons around. I made one of a cat and gave it to him. He was rather intrigued by that with Halloween coming up. And I'm going to take my cat in Tuesday for the vet for a checkup, and I've got a couple of cat skeletons I'm going to give to them. Over.
I've printed out quite a few things, but to me, designing is the hard thing. So I just usually print out pre-designed files. But I'll let you two get back to it. And
I can use mostly the models. I know Tinkercad is free, and I played with that a little bit, but haven't done anything with it. But it's another thing on the list of things to do.
I'm glad you guys were able to get in there. Hey, could you give me, I've got Ed's call in here. Can you give me your call one more time? I'm sorry.
You're talking about me, but it's November 0, Foxtrot, Uniform, Quebec.
I don't think I had you checked in here already. Do you want me to go ahead and check you in tonight?
At N0FQ.
I was was going through my log. I'm like, I don't see his call sign. Not a problem. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it. But, yeah, appreciate that you coming by and making a few comments for sure. And just make sure I've got you in here. November 0, Foxtrot Uniform, Quebec. And that's Daniel over in Lyman. Is that correct? Daniel, appreciate you coming in and making some comments with us. And again, you probably heard, you know, we run this net every night, 365 days a year, and then have our formal portion. Then we sit around and try and solve the world's issues with the rag chew portion, or just talk about what has been going on throughout the day. But appreciate you coming by. And again, there's no telling what topic we'll come up with. But I've seen again some folks do some amazing stuff with the 3D printers and everything. And again, my neighbor, well, used to live across the street. They moved now, but he used to make some interesting things. He built scale remote controlled airplanes, and if he needed something, he had design experience and everything. He could mock it up in CAD, move it over, export it to a printer drawing, and then just print it, and then, you know, that 3D object would be there. Of course, you know, again, there was a lot of resin that got wasted because, you know, the print didn't have the right support, or, you know, there was a part that was unsupported, or there was a pixel that was out of position, and it would send the head, like, to a zero point when it wasn't supposed to go there. But, like I say, he got pretty good where he could just about get everything. And of course, this was years ago, so I think now the error checking and control and some of that stuff works a whole lot better. You know, you can simulate the whole print before it actually does it. So a lot of that stuff has gotten much better. But I still, you know, it's like magic to me. So to watch somebody create something out of nothing. So you guys definitely, you know, it amazes me to watch that people create stuff and then put that stuff through the printer and then have an actual something you can hold once it gets done and finished with the print.
Benchief, which is kind of a test little tugboat, and I've done that half a dozen times with different settings. Like I said, it's like learning a computer. You change one setting, and the font changes in a sense. Over.
100%. You change one thing, and you mess up or fix three others. It's quite the complex. I don't know. You have fun with it. Enjoy if you could.
For a flow diagram for the little adjustment on the printer that shows exactly how you set it up. I've been learning from watching some of the stuff, but sometimes it doesn't go where I think it should go.
Technology is kind of above my computer skills, I think. I may be able to learn it at some point, but just haven't dove off the deep end into that. But again, it is still amazing to me to watch something go from concept to actual physical object when it comes out of the other end of the printer. You know, I can't remember the actual quote, but, you know, something about any advancement in technology or any great advancement in technology is tantamount to magic. So people that don't understand it, and so that's where I am.
Magic, go to ChatGPT. Don't know if you've tried that. We inherited a stray cat, and I put in a few things about him, and they came back with a poem about him. Over.
Drafting stuff with ChatGPT for sure. I haven't really played around with it too much yet.
Has a program that he put it in. I think it's Suno, something like that. Put the poem in, and they came back with four kinds of music: a ballad, an opera aria, a rock and roll, and something else. Over.
No, the technology can be a fun thing and a scary thing all at the same time, for sure. I look at some of the stuff, you know, again. Not that I'm talking to my phone about certain things and then all of a sudden ads start appearing, but, you know, they're not actually listening, right?
Oh. I'm actually watching a thing about technology, and people were using their phone as a translator. They couldn't even speak each other's language, but they ended up becoming friends and using a phone as a translator. So technology, it's very interesting, and we live in a unique and new time in Zero FUQ.
I've used it as a translator, both not so much verbally, but for writing. I've got a certificate in Japanese. I pointed it at the certificate, and it came back and translated. And as far as I could tell, it was pretty accurate. Over.
See what I'm talking about. You know, we have a world of information in our pockets. What a time to be alive.
Phone. I'm not sure about Android, because I haven't worked with those. In the upper right corner, there's a little, like a camera, and you can take a picture of something, and it will come back with identifying what it is, and then giving you all kinds of, usually, things to buy that are similar. If you put it on your automobile and look at the emblem that you recognize, it'll come back and tell you who made the vehicle. Over.
Yeah, pretty interesting technology, especially when, you know, they're trying to spend money. But like you said, Ed, I've seen the same thing where basically you can point it to something and say, what is this? And like you said, you can buy it, you can do research on it, you can find out where it is. You know, all this technology stuff, again, it's the kind of the movie thing. It's like, you know, as long as it's being used for good, it's great. But there can definitely be a dark side to some of it. But again, you know, I use mine. I mean, I think we've all become so reliant on so much of it. And, of course, you know, the past couple weeks have kind of shown us we probably shouldn't rely on it quite as much. But as far as a tool, I think it's definitely great.
You're there that is a tool, and you have to make sure you've got the toolbox with you, and sometimes that doesn't happen. But it's interesting from what we've experienced here. If you take a war zone, it's even different, I guess, would be the way of looking at it. Over.
True, Ed. But let me pause here. Been probably 20-30 minutes. Let me see if we've got any additional late check-ins here, and then we'll find out if you guys have anything else for the net tonight. This is AK4HR, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, looking for additional check-ins, AE through Z, Alpha through Zulu. Any station wishing to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, Net Control.
HR. Mike in the net, please check in, N4ZLK, November 4, Zulu, Lima, Kilo. My name is Shane. I'm in Cleveland. No traffic, no table tonight. Thanks for calling the net.
Kilo Whiskey 4, Kilo Whiskey Sierra. My name is Kevin. I'm in Etowah. Please check me in and out, sir. Thank you.
I'll check in there, and I won't ever call you late, because as long as the net's still going, you know, nobody's ever late. But Shane, good to hear you, my friend. That's November 4, Zulu. Oh, goodness. Can't get your call out, Shane. Sorry. November 4, Zulu, Lima, Kilo, N4ZLK. And Shane, always sounding good. Appreciate you coming by and checking in with us. And up next in that group, we've got Kevin. That's Kilo Whiskey 4, Kilo Whiskey Sierra, KW4, KWS. And Kevin, appreciate you coming by and checking in with us from up in North Carolina. Sounded like you got the good signal into the repeater, and I appreciate you hanging out with us. In the second half of our hour, is that right? Is my math right? Anyway, however long it is. But anyway, Kevin, appreciate you coming by and checking in with us. Good to hear you and get you logged in here. All right, before we continue on with our rag chew, Alpha through Zulu, any station wishing to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, Net Control.
Check in Kilo November 4, Victor Tango.
I checked in. You were a little down in the noise, but I think I was able to pull your call sign out. That's Kilo November 4, Victor Tango. Is that correct? That's Zach, and are you in Fort Mill, South Carolina? Is that correct, over? Here, Townville, South Carolina. But like I say, down in the noise a little bit, but you're making a decent trip up to the repeater. So a little bit of noise on the signal. Had to kind of lean over and get next to the speaker, but you're making it through the noise. I was able to copy you in there. but I don't know if maybe you can boost power a little bit, or maybe try a different level. I don't know if you're on an HT or what your operating conditions are, but you're making the repeater just down in the noise a little bit. But definitely good to get you in here. Looks like it's the first time you've checked in with me. So, again, we run this net every night, 365 days a year, and always looking for new call signs in the log and getting hams trying to connect up through the repeater. So, Zach, appreciate you coming by. Good to hear you, my friend, and hopefully we'll hear you again soon. One more call, or one more time, Zach's call, Kilo, November 4, Victor, Victor, Tango. And, Zach, like I say, good to get you logged in here. Always good to get a new call. All right, any additional check-ins before we continue on with the rag chew? Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, wishing to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Please call AK4HR, net control. We have everybody for the moment. I know we were talking about all kinds of topics with Ed and Daniel. So, Ed, Daniel, any more comments for the net tonight, sir?
ADW. No, I think I've dominated enough, over.
Same, so no more comments here, N0FQ.
Nope. Daniel, yeah, not a problem. I mean, that's what the repeater's for, and as we move into these colder months, got to keep those finals on the transmitters up there warmed up. So, but again, appreciate that, you guys. Like I said, we kind of talked over a bunch of topics. From, you know, disaster preparedness to military service to 3D printing and computers and all kinds of stuff. So you never know where the topics are going to go. But, Ed, appreciate you coming by. Daniel, you jumping in there as well. Definitely got us a few more check-ins. But we'll go ahead and see if we have any final check-ins before we secure the net. But, again, appreciate you folks sending it out for us, making some rag chew comments. Again, that's normally the fun part. I mean, again, I enjoy getting everybody in, but then just kind of finding out how people's days have gone. And a lot of people come in and out, and, you know, that's fine too, but we always open the rag chew portion up for comments, and normally just takes its own direction. So, again, appreciate you guys coming by and making some comments for us. All right, let's do one final call before we secure the net tonight. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. If you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control.
I got a question for you about the submarine bin, KI4LCI.
Go ahead, I'll try and answer it if it's not still classified, over.
You was talking about you was on some old submarine. They were still nuclear-powered, or were they diesel-powered? And what is the oldest one you was on? Because if you was on a diesel-powered one, I just wondered if this diesel-powered submarine in somewhere around the Solomon Islands, there was a Japanese bomber that sunk one out there. And 80 men was lost on it. Do you know anything about that? KI-4LCI.
Not quite that old. I mean, again, all mine were built in the 50s and 60s, so most of our nuclear fleet is nuclear-powered just because the diesel is not quite. We do have diesel backup for some stuff, but to say they're diesel-powered anymore is, you know, it's kind of, well, I don't even know the new ones. I mean, we had a diesel on ours, and I was on what they call the Sturgeon class submarines. They were 637 class, which was pre-Los Angeles, which was pre-Seawolf, which was pre-Virginia class. I think so. There's like three or four classes that have come out since the ships I was on. But most of the ships I was, the oldest one I was on was the Narwhal, and it was built in the 50s. And then the Rivers, I think its keel was laid like the mid-60s or so. So both of the submarines I was on were older than me.
I'm wondering if you was on one of those from way back. I didn't think you would have been, but there again, I'm no expert on submarines. I was just wondering, you know, I've heard that there was some lost near Solomon Islands on that particular diesel submarine that a Japanese bomber sunk. I'm just, but being that you wasn't on a diesel sub, you wouldn't know, so I was just looking for any information that you may have had about that. If you had, KI4LZI.
You know, in the modern age, they say we've lost two, the Scorpion and the Thresher. And one was on sea trials, and the other one, they're not quite sure what happened to it. It just lost communication and never made it to its home port. But those are the only two that the modern Navy kind of talks about. I know we had a lot of diesel boats and stuff through World War II that we lost. But I don't know the specifics on them. I'd have to do research as well. And I'd probably go through Google just to see if I could find them. But, yeah, I mean, again, we've had some, you know, the news loves to publicize, be it the surface Navy or the sub-Navy or anything. And but, you know, that's part of the job. We got to get close to each other. So the closer you are, stuff's going to happen.
And even you even being in on a submarine, you ain't gonna know much, but it was just something curious that I read and saw about, and you compare days of today where you got these ability to fire off a missile with nukes on it compared to those from back then. Those back then, from my understanding, those diesels, if it'd been like one of today, one of these subs today could have probably blown that bomber out of the sky, but in those days they didn't have missiles, technology on submarines, and from my understanding, had very little time they could stay down, being that they weren't nuclear powered. They had to come up after something should happen to them. By chance, water got to the batteries in them, they could create chlorine gas and still kill you. So there's a lot of difference, even for someone like myself to know. KI4LZI.
I think back on some of the stuff we did back then, and, you know, I joke that it's a young person's game because you don't know what you don't know. But I look back on some of the stuff that we did and just like, I definitely know why it's a young man's game.
Then I hear about some of this other stuff where they sent a Los Angeles class tank sub down there to around the Cuba area here about 3 or 4 months ago when a bunch of buildup was down there where there was a Russian frigate and a Russian nuclear pipe went down there. Just from now to way back in the early 40s, even for someone like myself, there's a lot of difference nowadays between those subs then and those days of today. I know there was some mention that, you know, when you fire off the missiles, they depend on the satellites above to aim them at the right location. When you take those diesel subs from back in the early 40s, they didn't have anything like that capability. There wasn't even any satellites.
Like I say, I don't know too much about the brand new ones. You know, a couple months ago, I watched like a Discovery Channel thing. I think it was the Virginia class. And, you know, those things are light years different. And, you know, technology changes so fast now. But I saw them and, you know, we used to do a lot of the stuff, processes manually, you know, like blowing air and doing charging the airbags and charging the battery. Now they just flip the switch. And the computers control all that stuff. So, you know, stuff that we swore would never take over or be taken over by a computer because it was too important, now they just, you know, flip a switch and, you know, it takes them down to periscope depth and, you know, blows the ballast tanks or floods the ballast tanks or moves water. I mean, it's just like all push-button stuff. And I'm sure there are still fail-safes and backups, all that stuff. But I watched that documentary. I was like, man. Maybe I got out 50 years too early.
Another something, KI4LZI5D, about the squalls. About 1938 to 37, that was even before World War II. that it had some kind of issue, and the captain got blamed for it, but they never really figured out exactly what happened. For some reason or another, something went wrong, and they went down, and they was, most of the crew was content. They had to be. They didn't have no choice but being in one area of the sub, because the rest of it was flooded, and they was waiting on someone to, and I don't know, considering the way things was then, high in the world, they could have, maybe that was just a fictitious thing, I thought. I don't know for sure, but there's a lot of differences in now and the way it was then.
Boats, you know, they were, you know, we used to joke the diesel boats were ships that were made to go underwater for a short period of time, but the nuke subs, they were made to stay underwater and stay on the surface for a short period of time. So, you know, once we submerged, we didn't come up unless there was a reason we had to. So, and I'm sure the newer boats are that way too. You know, once they get out past where they can dive, they go down. Of course, that's the whole point of the sub Navy too, is they're not supposed to know where they are, and you know that's our whole job, is to go out there and remain undetected. So the new boats definitely do that mission a whole lot better than some of the older boats do, that's for sure. And but the funny thing is the diesel boats were so quiet because they're on batteries. Batteries don't make any noise.
Tells the guy, yeah, you're right about it. I wasn't that and about the one that sunk near the Solomon Islands there. It's the bad part about it is when that clawing, if that whatever gets to that battery, you're going to fail. You're going to auto die regardless, but clawing gas ain't no friend to you either when it gets down to the part of the boat that you're in, so. I know I was read about that somewhere and heard about that squalus and heard you talking about that. I thought you might know more, but I don't keep you up all night, so go ahead and secure the net. KI-4LZI.
Well, this is AK-4HR with KI-4LZI wrapping up the RAG 2 portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. Yeah, Andy, not a problem, sir. Yeah, I'm going to go down and refill my cup here and probably turn in here in the next little while. So, but I appreciate you coming by and making a few comments. Definitely always good to hear you. And good to hear Ed and Daniel come in and make a few comments, and Larry. And the message Larry had passed over about Eddie's birthday tomorrow. So all good news, all good conversation for sure. But Andy, we'll definitely talk again soon. 73, my friend. 4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, doing one final call here for additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call, and you wish to check in to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control. Calls normally means we have everybody, so one final call. Have I missed anyone for comments or check-ins? Please call AK4HR, net control. Additional check-ins, Patrick, KO4HKX, is on the schedule to be net control tomorrow night. I know he'd appreciate you coming back and checking in with him and filling up his log book. Stand by, I'll copy or send my net report electronically, and then we'll close out the net. And my net report is not going through electronically, so I'll follow up with Gary or Dave and get that information over to them. But just for informational, this would be my routine message number 157 from AK4HR W4NYK, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net report for October 19th, 2024. Check-ins, we had 51, two pieces of traffic. So again, I'll pass that over to Gary or Dave and make sure they get those numbers for the monthly report. So again, this is AK4HR, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with our thanks for all stations who have taken the time to check in. Remember and do your best, try and keep that magic RF smoke inside the components where it belongs, and come back again and check in tomorrow night. We'll now return the repeater back to its normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. HR. I'm going to try and pass my net report one more time electronically, just see if I can get this to work. K4HR, I'll be clear.